This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotan. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Because I taught it, because he taught me something while teaching it. That's what makes it good to me. Amen. But we're going to look at 2 Chronicles verse 1 through 7, verse 1 through 6, then verse 12 through 16, and we'll try and do what the Lord wants us to do, and hopefully there's something that you can receive from all of this. Amen. When you have 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep, so that the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with their instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endured forever. When David praised by them, by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Let's go. Verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attended to unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Amen. The God of the blessing of those ears and doers of his word, the grass wither the foul faith, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for a title tagged to this message, a lesson for successful prayer. A lesson for successful prayer. The reason this prayer is successful is because God answered Solomon. Amen. Amen. when we don't really understand prayer, and I can't take you back, you wasn't there, you missed it, and I can't even record it, so I can't take you back to that because I don't have time. But we find out that a lot of times people mistake prayer for God doing, you know, being a genie and somebody that does what they asked him to do. That's not always how prayer ends up, and that's not how prayer works. It was the Jesus, the Son of God himself, that prayed and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But he turned around and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Prayer should cause you to submit to the will of God, whether or not it feels good or is favorable in your life. Amen. And so when we talk about prayer, it is two people basically in a relationship, and it's not a monologue, not one way, but it's a dialogue. It's two ways. God speaks to us, and sometimes he'll even speak in silence. Ask Paul. The Bible said that Paul went to God three times, and God never said anything because he wasn't going to change his mind. And sometimes we think the more we talk to God about something, he will change his mind. Now, that don't mean don't go to God with it, right? Because Paul went three times, and then God finally said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect where you weak. I know this thing weakens you, but it shows you my strength in your life. Amen. And so prayer, when we talk about it, it's a relationship between two people where one person opens up and let the other one inside. Amen. So when we pray to God, we ought to open our heart and let him inside. So when God comes inside of us, he meets us in a place, a secret place. That's why Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the what? Secret place, all right? We go to his place, and then he comes in our place, right? And so the place, the secret place, the closet, not the place where you keep clothes, but the closet is inside of you. It is a secret chamber only you and God go into. Come on and say amen. Because in the closet, there's stuff that you don't share with everybody else. Amen. And so we meet God in the spirit, and within ourselves, there's a chamber in us that God meets us, our spirit and his spirit, and we commune there. And so prayer is communion, right? So we commune with God, right? And so if we commune with God and we understand that that's what prayer is making supplications, things like that, that we talk to God about stuff, and then prayer comes out with promises, right? Because we know what God expects from us, and we have expectations from God, and we come out with confidence because we went in to pray. Amen. It's the best I can do on the foundation of this message, so y'all got to bear with me. So the lesson we have for successful prayer, the text that we've chosen this morning is Solomon. Solomon, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Chronicles is two parts, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You know, the Chronicles were written by the king's chronicler, the one who scribed for the king. And in Chronicles, you don't find the mistakes that the kings made because they wanted to make it sound good that he was the best king, whoever the king was. But in Kings, you find out what they did wrong, you know, because that was written by the prophets because they told the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? Chronicles says that Solomon, up until this point, David is now dead. Solomon has been ruling Israel for about 24 years. He has been working on building the temple and his house and all this stuff, these building projects, for the last 20 years. And finally, he comes to a point to where the building of the house of the Lord is done. This glorious building, this miraculous building, this wonderful building that left everybody wondering about how great a person could be as an architect to build such a thing. Now, Solomon now is he's dedicating the house of God, but he's praying, and the Bible says in verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. This is what we want. When we pray, we want God to respond. Amen. When we pray, we want God to show us a reaction of some sort that he heard our prayer. We want to know that God has accepted what we have said. But here's the thing. We have to also accept what God has said. I wish I had somebody here. And so after he prayed, then something happened. See, a lot of times we try to do stuff and we pray last. We do. We always try to fix it ourselves because because we think that we have the power and the ability to fix it. And when it does not work like we thought it should have worked, we sometimes pray, and other times we get mad with God because he let it happen. I'm telling the truth. Amen. You may not agree, but it's the truth. And you can't ever tell me that you know, you got mad with God, but you know he was too big for you to stay mad at, so you got over it real quick. Mm-hmm. So he said the glory of the Lord did what? Fill the house. That is the lasting thing that we want for our life. God's glory to fill our life. God's glory to fill our heart, right? God's glory. And so verse 2 says, and the priest could not enter into the house because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Listen to this. If you pray and you get God's response and he fills you up, you ain't got time for other stuff to fill you up. Other desires can't fill you up because all I want is him. Right? People can't fill your heart because you only have him in your heart. Unforgiveness can't fill you because only God is in your heart. God is love, right? So you'll forgive. And so we understand that when God is in a place, the priest is saying, those who draw near to sacrifice, he says that they could not even enter into the house. Everything has to wait behind God's presence. Everything you intend, and sometimes we try to program things to do how we want it to be done. But it's not going to happen until God's presence is settled in the place. When I mean settled, that means that God has settled, that everything that he rested, his kabod, his glory has rested, right? And so then he says, and when all the children of Israel saw the fire and the glory upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying for his good, for his mercy, to do it forever. After the prayer, after the glory, they begin to praise. And you know what? When we pray and we get a response from God, some of us, we leave without even giving God the due praise. We come to church, he's answered our prayers, and we want to tell our testimony, but we don't give God the praise that he's due. Y'all with me here? They worship. Look at this. Not only did they praise God, but they worshiped him with their faces on the pavement. They said, ain't no shame in my game. They said, I don't have a problem humbling myself, getting down on the pavement if I have to. Whatever it is to show God how I appreciate his presence, I'll do it. Many of us, we won't show him appreciation in that fashion because we have too much pride left in us. But if God's glory is in us, there's no place for pride. Y'all with me now? He says, for his mercy endured forever. This is why they praised him. And if we read further, the reason why David made instruments of music is because his mercy endured forever. The reason why David made things to praise God with is because he wanted to praise God for his mercy, because he knew that God didn't give him what he really deserved. Now, if we really did appreciate what God has done, we would not have a problem when it's time to pray. We wouldn't say, well, that ain't me. Mm-hmm. I don't do all of that. You would say, I need to do more than that. If God would pull back the curtain of judgment and you would see what you were about to encounter, if it had not been for his mercy, you would bow to the pavement. Oh, all right. No. I know somebody don't like that, but I don't care. The king and all the people offered what? Listen, after they prayed, after the glory had came down, after they realized how merciful God was, they wanted to sacrifice. What do we want to do afterwards? What do we want to do after? What do we do after the presence of God? We want to go eat. We want to go get back in the flesh. We want to go, you know. What do we do? They sacrifice. What does that mean to us? That means in the New Testament, Romans 12, present your body what? God doesn't want dead sacrifices now. He wants the living sacrifice. He wants you alive and sacrificing your life for him. Y'all still with me? Okay, I'm getting boring, but I'm going to keep on moving. And And the priests waited in their offices. Now, I want you to notice verse 6, and this is why I brought all of this in just this morning. I brought these first verses in. He says they waited their offices, and the Levites with their instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king made to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. And when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. So he's saying now after this, I want you to understand the first thing, my point is, there are some prerequisites to prayer answered, right? All of the things I'm telling you, the sacrifice, the time for prayer, the dedication, all of these things are prerequisites to prayer and answered prayer, right? So after this, now we find out that the priests could not do things in the order that they, because the priests came in order and they did things in order until the glory of the Lord had settled in the house and it was time to do it. See, we try to get ahead of God. We want to set order according to how we feel, what we think it, or how it ought to work. God, and when we pray, we try to tell God what order we want blessings in. God, I need you to do this on Monday. I need you to do this by next week. God, I need this by June, and I need this by December. We plan stuff without consulting God. And we think that he's supposed to follow our order when he is the one that gives the order. Amen. And so after the prayer, after the sacrifices, after the glory of God had came into the house, then things got in order. Maybe, just suggesting, evaluate your life and see whether you've sacrificed. See whether you've made dedication. See whether or not God's presence is truly in your life, and then you'll realize whether or not things are in order in your life. If things are out of order, what do they call it? If disorder is in your life, then something is not right. Maybe it's your dedication. Maybe you're not sacrificing. Maybe you don't have the presence of God like you thought you had. Okay. It's making me think here. That was verse 6. So we're going to go on down to verse 12. We understand. Do you understand there's prerequisites to this? That we have to get ourselves together. We have to dedicate ourselves. Right, we have to sacrifice sometime, and I know that don't work well, because that sacrifice means something got to die. That means something's gonna hurt. That means there's some bleeding, and that means some flesh got to suffer. Y'all still with me? And we don't want to do that part because we don't want to hurt. We don't want to bleed. We don't want to give up something. We don't want something to die in us. That's the hard part. If you really want prayer to work, that's the hard part. Amen. Stay with me. I'm boring you now, but it'll be better later. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, now not only after they prayed and dedicated and sacrificed did God show up and answer by fire. Power, that's what fire represents, by power and glory. But then God also spoke. God also said something to them. He said to Solomon, now Solomon, you led this great thing. Now I'm going to speak to you tonight. And he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. That's a blessing right there. To have God say, I've heard you. Because we think and we hope that he hears us. We hope to feel like he hears us, but when God tells you himself, I'm appearing to you to tell you that I heard you. After all he had done, now we got to remember what all Solomon done, the bullocks and the goats and the sheep, all of these animals that he sacrificed, that I'm talking about thousands of them, and he didn't just stop to clean up after each one. He kept killing and blood kept flowing. Why was it such a great sacrifice? Because God's presence is there. And when God's presence is among us, that should be a great sacrifice. So much blood, they said that it was so much blood that it came up to the knees in blood. That they waded in blood. And so something had to die. Sacrifice had to be made. And after the sacrifice, God came to him and said, I heard your prayer. And And I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now, here's the thing. Once you start praying, once you pray, God does not expect you to stop your sacrifices. Once your prayers are heard and answered, once you feel the power of God, that means you still got to keep doing your sacrifices. In other words, you got to still do what you had been doing. A lot of times we pray and we get blessed. Our prayers get answered and we stop what we were doing and go back to what we was doing. Y'all don't hear me now. If you've been fasting and praying all this time, don't stop because he answered you. If you stop fooling with them all this time and God bless you now, don't worry about fooling with them now because they might drag you down. Stay focused on what God has for you. Don't stop because you got granted your wish. Stop wishing anyway and start praying. We wish too much, especially black folk. I wish you would. We wish too much. I'm wishing. And sometimes we try to, we remove the word wish and we put hope there. I'm hoping. No. I have faith that God hears me when I pray. Do you have faith today that God hears you? Are you saying, I hope he hear me? I hope he answers. Okay, let's go on. He says, I've chosen this place. What if, listen to this, the place that God chose was the temple that was built. Now, the temple that was built is destroyed, and Jesus has come, and the temple that God wants to occupy now is your temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is God. That's his spirit. And so God's spirit is, I've chosen this place. Guess what? You didn't choose God. God chose you to dwell in you. He said, I chose this place for, you've been chosen for God as a house of sacrifice. Prayer is sacrifice, time of sacrifice. You pray within yourself. I know that sometimes people pray these loud, eloquent prayers, and sometimes, you got some of them get a little hoop with it. But if you ain't praying in here, that right there, from here to there, ain't nothing. They can have it in their head, and they say the same old thing, and oh, we got, and now, Lord, and, But what about from here? What about the Spirit of God meeting you inside your temple? Matter of fact, the Bible says that you don't even know what to pray for. Romans 8, 16, I believe. He says you don't even know what to pray for. He said, but the Spirit of God maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We can't pray God's will because we still live in our flesh. Because we don't want to sacrifice our flesh and we don't want our flesh to die. What will you give up for God? Challenge. What would you give up for God? What would you say, God, I let it go just so that I can have your presence? Okay. All of that's prerequisites to prayer. Now, the next thing I want you to understand is in this lesson, that even if you pray, pestilence and problems will happen. You still gonna have problems. Tell somebody, you still have problems, even if you pray. Now look at what he says. Now, if I shut up heaven, now the problem sometimes may come from God, because we forget sometimes to do his total will. Sometimes we slip, slide, skate, we don't always walk right? And so he said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. In other words, what he's telling us, that there's sometimes that God, when he wants to get our attention, he'll shut up the heaven. In other words, the blessings ain't flowing like they used to. Your money is funny. Your change is strange. Your friends acting funny. You ain't got it going on like you thought you had. You ain't all that in the bag of chips no more. You just moving popcorn now. All but a dime, because you're anointed. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, no blessings flowing, Or if I command the locust to devour the land. The locust to devour the land. What he's saying here? He's saying that if what you grow and what you get is being eaten up before you can eat it. It's being taken away before you can take it away and use it. You know how it is. It seems like one thing after another. Car broke down. Light bill higher than it should be. Water bill so high. You fussing at the children for leaving it running while they brush the teeth. You know what I'm saying? All these things go wrong. Stuff just happened. One up, flat tire. Got to buy a new set. You know, it's that kind of stuff. All these things come. The locusts devour the land. Whatever you planted, it don't seem like you're getting a harvest from it. You've been putting in. You've been sowing seed. And ain't nothing happening. He says, if this happens to you, if the blessings ain't flowing, if the blessings look like they're coming and the locusts get it before you can get it, he says, or if I send pestilence among my people, if I send trouble, if trouble is in your way and you have to cry sometime. If things happen, look at this. There's pestilence. All this stuff going to happen even if you pray. But then he said, if my people. Now, we got to understand this too, the lesson that we need to learn. There's prerequisites, there's problems, but then there's a posture that we should have. He said, if my people, who is he talking to now? He's talking to the people who have called on him and said, you are our God. The people who has accepted him as their God and no other God before him. They don't share him with nobody else. Amen. They don't say, look, I'm part-time God and I'm part-time somebody else. I'm part-time serving God, but then I make an idol of myself. I'm part-time, I serve God part of the time, but other times I like to serve the God of wine and beer and smoke and drink. Preach. Sometimes I serve God, but other times I like to serve Kanye West or somebody. I'm just messing with y'all. I like to serve somebody else. I like what I like. But I serve God part of the time. I got all these other little idols that I miss God to go do. Mm-hmm. All these things are in the way. He says that I shut up heaven, I send pestilence, I command the locusts, but my people, which are called by my name. Are you a disciple of Christ? I'm trying to get out of saying Christian so much because the world's confused on what Christians are. I'm calling myself a disciple of Christ now because folks that say they're Christian and support President, folks that say they're Christian and they can burn crosses, folks that say they're Christian and they can bomb synagogues, you know, stuff like that, nah. So I want to make a differentiation between me and them. I'm not your average evangelical. I'm a disciple of Christ. Try to walk after the disciplines of Christ himself. Amen? And so he said, my people which are called by what? My name. Those who show, supposed to show my character. Shall humble themselves. Here's the posture that we should take in our time of prayer. He said you have to what? Humble yourself. The Bible says if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will what? Exalt us in due time or due season, right? He also tells us that if we humble ourselves, he said that he give grace to the what? Humble. So if we want God to recognize us and give us favor, if we want God to lift us up, then we have to be what? Humble. He says that if we lower ourselves, we will be lifted. So we got to first humble ourselves, but then he says, now, when we humble ourselves, that means you got to get rid of your pride. That means you got to get rid of all that stuff you get built up on. I'm this and I'm that, and I can do this and I can do that. You're going to have to say, I can do nothing without Jesus. You're going to have to say...